How's everybody doing today? How about that? 20 more baptisms this afternoon. That's incredible. Although the way it is outside right now, you just walk outside, you feel like you got baptized. So we're going to count everyone in this room toward our goal of baptisms for this year. You know, when my wife and I moved into a new house over the summer, middle of August, the second night we were there, our dog escaped. And I've read on, you know, you see these lists online, you click on them, it's like the smartest dog breeds. And Border Collie is always at the top. But let me tell you, I've got incontrovertible proof that that is a lie. His name is Max. You know, he must have snuck out when we were moving boxes or something. There's no telling how long he'd been out. So here it is. It's late at night. We're in a new neighborhood. Kids are asleep. And Melissa, my wife, is driving around the neighborhood looking for this dog. I'm standing in the front yard whistling and calling. Our neighbors must have thought that we were crazy people. I'm calling for this dog in case he comes back. And really, after a while, I was just hoping that he would come back so I could take him in the backyard and do an Old Yeller on him. You know, it's funny, the thing that drove our dog, Max, to leave the house. You know, he's got plenty of food, fresh water, as much as he wants. He's got comfortable couches and beds to lay on. He's got air conditioning, all that stuff. But something within him made him want to leave. Something within him made him want to look past all that good stuff and go out into an unfamiliar neighborhood at night with cars driving around, ridiculous heat. It was in the middle of August in Dallas. You know what I'm talking about. Something made him pursue what he thought was real freedom, and he was gone. Freedom. There's a reason why so many movies are made that have freedom as the main objective. There's a reason why we glorify and celebrate war heroes who fight and die for the cause of freedom. There's a reason that every coming-of-age movie has the teenage protagonist throwing off the shackles of their stupid and out-of-touch parents. There's something within us that rebels against bondage, whether it's real or perceived. There's something inside of us. Maybe you feel that right now. Maybe your responsibilities, the weight of the expectations of others on you, maybe that's pressing in on you, and what you really desire is to be free. You ever felt that way? You feel it right now, maybe? I want to talk to you today about freedom. Together, we're going to look at what it means to be truly free, and more importantly, we're going to look at how you and I can pursue that freedom in our own lives. We're going to be in two different texts today. The first is Galatians chapter 5, it'll be verses 13 to 14. Galatians 5, 13 to 14. Should be up on the screen behind me. It reads, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's our first text written by the Apostle Paul, written to the Christians in Galatia. Our second text is written by a different author. It's to be found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. 1 Peter 2, 16 to 17. "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." What we have here is we've got two very different authors, two different men writing. We've got two very different audiences, two purposes for which these letters were written. And yet what we have is the exact same sentiment expressed in different ways. We call that a theme. This is the theme that we're going to be looking at today. So I want to share three parts with you today. I want to share with you that we've got a problem. You and I have a problem. It's a problem with the way the world and our flesh views freedom, the way that we look at it, the way that we pursue it. But for that problem, thankfully, God's given us a solution. We're going to look at that today, the kind of real freedom that God designed each one of us for. And finally, we're going to look at an application. How can you and I live and walk in that freedom in our lives? The problem is very simple. The world, the culture, the soup that you and I swim in and stew in every day, and the flesh, that sinful part of you that's deep inside, that natural man, it lies to you about what freedom really is. The truth is that because of sin, each one of us is wired to chase what I'm going to call freedom from. Freedom from. From an early age, most of us have yearned to be free from. We want to be free from expectations. We want to be free from rules. We want to be free from consequences, don't we? We want to be free from consequences. That's the big one. We want to be free from the demands of others on our time and the needs of others that we feel like they're holding us down. Young kids are the worst about this, aren't they? I've got two young boys with a third one on the way. By the way, we could be having a baby at any moment, so if I get the nod, I'm going to leave. All right? Pastor Joe's here. He's going to take over, so it'll be amazing. We've got kids, and they're great at this. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want mom and dad to talk to them about how to do something. And the thing is, they do that even when their way is way worse. It's way worse. Our son Joshua, he's two. He just started figuring out how to say, I want to do it myself. This phrase applies to everything that I can, as far as I can tell. Getting dressed, putting on shoes, buckling in the car, opening stuff. It's all, I want to do it myself. I want to do it myself. The thing about him doing it himself is it takes 20 times as long. It makes a huge mess all over the floor, no matter what it is. When you're trying to get out of the door, I want to do it myself is not going to work. But that's the heart. He wants to be free from our rules, free from our expectations on him. And he's two. It's not just kids, though, is it? You felt it. You felt it in anger at a police officer who pulls you over. You knew you were speeding. You ran that red light. You did it. But who are you mad at? You're mad at the police officer, aren't you? You've seen it in anger at your boss when he corrects you on something you did wrong. You've seen it in resentment, maybe in your home and your family, when you have to put your needs or your desires secondary to the needs of somebody else. You felt it in a rejection of God's word when it contradicts what you want to do. We've all felt it. Why? Because one of the consequences of sin is that everybody in this room has the desire to be free from rules, free from expectations, from the influence and authority of others, and to be free from the responsibility of service to others. The great lie of the devil, the great lie of your sinful flesh, the great lie of our proud and debased culture is that if you could just cast off the restraints that society and other people have placed on you, if you could just get rid of that, then you would finally be free. And wouldn't that be glorious? Wouldn't it be amazing to be free like that? But that's a lie. That's a lie. This is part of the work of the flesh that Paul condemns in Galatians chapter 5. It's an instance of the evil that Peter condemns in 1 Peter 2 that we just looked at. Sin will tell you that to be free is to be free from the need for service to God and service to others. That's what sin says. But you know, the truth is that often, a lot of times, what we think will make us free, it doesn't. It doesn't. When my wife was a kid, her family had a fish tank in the living room. The thing about this fish tank is sometimes at night, they might forget to put the lid back on the fish tank. Y'all know where this is going, right? So what would they come out in the morning and find a fish on the carpet in the living room. It's pretty disgusting, right? Those fish, somewhere in their tiny little fish brain, thought, this glass is keeping me locked down. I got a problem. To get free, I need to jump out of this tank. But what did they find when they jumped out of the tank? They didn't find freedom, did they? Oftentimes, what we think will make us free, it doesn't. It doesn't. Can you imagine anything worse than coming out, it's still dark, you're not really awake, and you step on a wet, slimy, soggy fish on your... Maybe worse would be like a dry, warm fish on the floor, but what we think will make us free oftentimes doesn't. The problem is simply this, that freedom from... It's an illusion. It doesn't exist. Don't worry. I'm not talking about political freedom. Braveheart's my favorite movie, too. Don't worry. It's fine. This is deeper than that. It's spiritual. It's existential. It's got nothing to do with government or politics. The truth is that there is no such thing as freedom from. What sin tells you is this, that you can serve or you can be free. That you can take responsibility for the needs of others, or you can be free, but that's not the choice that's in front of you. The choice is not serve or be free. The choice is simply this, whom will you serve? In casting off responsibility and shying away from service, in seeking to rid myself of others' claims on my lives, what I find is that in the end, I'm not truly free. I'm not free. What I find is that I've set myself into slavery to a far worse master. That's myself. That's my flesh. This is what Martin Luther called being curved in on the self. The choice before you today is not serve God and others or be free. The choice is this, do I serve God and others or do I turn inward and serve myself? You know, this is why Peter and Paul both caution those who are free in Christ not to turn that freedom inward. The language they use in these passages, it's stark. It doesn't beat around the bush. Peter says, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. He doesn't say waywardness. It's not like a funny movie. He's talking about it. It's evil. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Paul says something similar. He says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't do it. Don't use your freedom for that. Imagine the worst, the most debased aspects of your personality, of your heart, the darkest places within you, those things that Jesus Christ had to die on a cross to atone for. Those are the things that master us when we pursue freedom from. Freedom from doesn't exist. It's an illusion. What you thought would make you free, just like those fish flopping around on the carpet, is really just slavery to a tiny, insecure, ignorant, petty, vindictive, I could keep going, little God. And that's you. Free from is really just slave to yourself, slave to your flesh. We all know that we want to be free. That's clear. What the world tells us about what freedom looks like, that's a lie. What your flesh tells you about what freedom looks like, it's not true. It's not true. We will never find freedom in rejecting service to others or service to God and serving ourselves. That's not freedom. So we have a problem, don't we? We got a problem. We got a big problem. Houston? No, this is Dallas. Sorry. Dallas, we've got a problem. Fortunately, the Bible does not leave us without answers. Now, it's true that the Bible doesn't tell us everything we might want to know, right? Wouldn't that be great? Pastor Joe, that would make your job a lot easier. But the Bible does give answers. It does tell us what to do with this problem. And the solution is this. A truly free life is a life of service to God and others. A truly free life is a life of service to God and others. Let me put it a different way. You are free to serve. You're free to serve. True freedom, it doesn't come from a lack of commitments or responsibilities. It comes from submitting to the appropriate responsibilities. It comes from embracing that purpose for which you were created. Just as an example, anyone who's ever been really good at anything gets this. Anyone who's ever had real skill or real talent, I don't know what that's like, but I've heard, people that are good at stuff, they know this, that true freedom comes from within, working within a set of restrictions, a set of commitments, a set of obligations. I think a great example of this is Esther Oh. I don't know if she's in here right now, but she's awesome, right? Esther Oh plays the keyboard, leads the worship team. She's amazing. She is free when she gets up to play that beautiful music on those keyboards. But why is that? She's free because she knows what those little white things are on the keyboard and what they do. She's free because she knows notes and chords and scales and arpeggios and all that stuff that most of us don't know anything about. She's free because she works to serve what the other band members are doing. She knows her part that she's playing to support the greater mission of the team. And she's free because ultimately she knows that she is helping to serve you and me as they help lead us into the presence of God in worship. So let's just do a little thought experiment, talking about freedom. One day, Esther Oh wakes up and she says, you know what, forget all this. The restrictions, the chords, the notes, forget it. I want to be free. So she comes up and just bang, bang, bang on the keyboard. Whatever she wanted, however she wanted. These guys don't know what's going on. It's terrible. She would be free. That's for sure. Free to find another gig next Sunday. That's not freedom, is it? That's not freedom. Freedom is in knowing the design and the purpose of the keyboard, in knowing how her part fits in with what everyone else is doing. Freedom is in her serving you and me. Then she's free to make beautiful music, not just by banging away on whatever key she wants. To be truly free, you and I, you have to understand your purpose. You have to embrace the responsibilities and the commitments that are inherent in that purpose. Okay, great. What's my purpose? Thank you for asking. Thanks, Pastor Stewart. Thank you for asking. You were created by God for one thing, for the purpose of serving. You were created by God to serve. How do I know this? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us to live as servants of God. Live as servants of God. But how do we do that? Verse 17 gives us a clue. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. What are these words? Honor, love, fear. Another good word for that would be reverence, respect. Galatians chapter 5 opens it up a little bit further. Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What are you and I supposed to do? We're supposed to honor God and we're supposed to love one another. How do you do that? How do you honor God? How do you love each other? You do it by serving. You cannot go before a holy God and say, God, I honor you, I reverence you, I fear you, I love you, but I refuse to serve you. You cannot do that. You can't go to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your family and say, Melissa, my wife, I love you, but you're on your own. Figure it out yourself. You can't do that. That's hollow, isn't it? Ladies, I see you looking at your men there. That's okay. You can't honor God if you won't serve him. You can't love other people if you won't serve them. The truth is, the bottom line is that you were created to serve. So how do we finish the circle? How do we close it up? Since you were created to serve, that's where you're going to find your freedom. If you're a fish, service is the water. You breathe it. You swim in it. You guys like sharks? Anyone like Shark Week or sharks, any kind of sharks? You don't know a shark, do you? You don't know if you like them or not. Every show on Shark Week, ends up with some doofus getting in a metal cage and going into the water. And then they throw like fish chunks into the water to get the sharks to come up. And I'm sorry, but if you're getting in the water with a shark, you're in his house. Whatever happens to you, you kind of have it coming, right? Because in the water, that shark is free in a way that you'll never know. He's fast, he's maneuverable, he owns it. That's his place, that's his element. Take that same shark, toss him up on the beach, right? If you walk really close to him, he might bite your foot or something, but he's pretty much useless outside of the water, right? That shark was made for the ocean. When he's there, he's free. When he's not, he's not. He's just a beach shark. If you're a bird, service is the air. You ever seen a bird on the ground? They're the worst. They're so dumb. Two little stick legs hopping around looking for seeds or worms or whatever. That's cat food. Once a bird gets in the air, well, maybe an ostrich, they're cool, but they're kind of the exception. Once that bird gets in the air, though, that bird is free in a way that you'll never be in the air. Does that make sense? If you are a bird, service is your air. You'll never be free until you embrace that for which you were made, and you were made to serve. When you serve God and you serve others, I'll tell you what, you can open up the throttle. If you bought a Ferrari and you drove it under the speed limit from your house to work to Tom Thumb back to the house, and you did that as long as you had it, like, would it work for that? Sure, sure. That's not what a Ferrari's designed for, is it? That's like a Ford Focus. No. You want to go on the Autobahn. You want to go on Texas Motor Speedway and open that baby up. That's what service enables you to do. It gives you a chance to exercise your spiritual gifts. Your gifts and talents and abilities that God gave you, they were meant for the good of others, for building up others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 tells you that your spiritual gifts were designed for the common good. That's when you're going to be able to exercise those spiritual gifts, not for building yourself. Service lets you build something eternal. Friends, most of the stuff that you and I spend our time on is not going to matter next week, much less a year from now. Maybe somebody really incredible could do something that's remembered 100 years from now. But that's not most of what you do. But the Bible tells us that even a cup of cold water given in service has eternal ramifications. You can build something eternal through serving others and serving God that you could never even approach on your own. Service helps you fit into the story of what God's doing. It helps you move out of your tiny little story and into the big story of what he's doing. And his story is way better than yours. It's way better, and it's got a way better ending, let me tell you. You were created to serve, and you won't be free until you're doing what you were made to do. So we've seen that freedom can't be found in serving ourselves. It can't. That's a dead end. We've seen that you and I were created to serve, and that's where we'll find our true freedom. That's great. I mean, speaking generalities, that's fine, but how do we do this? How do we do it? The truth is this, that you have to chase true freedom with everything that's within you, with your last ounce of strength. That cry of freedom, that That William Wallace Braveheart cry of freedom that's in your heart, God put that there for a reason, and it's a good thing. You should pursue being free, but you have to pursue it the right way. That means first that you have to reject what the culture and the flesh and the world tells you about what it means to be free. Freedom from is a dead end. It's slavery to a tiny little god. It's idolatry. You got to reject that, and you have to embrace the truth that the freedom that you seek, it can only be found in serving God and others. There's a lot of different levels and types of service. You can serve your family. You can serve your church, your city, your school, your nation, all kinds of service. What that means is that not every night, friends, should be spent at church. Don't spend every night at church. Not every night needs to be spent in a Bible study. Because the truth is that some service to God and others happens at church. Very important. That's part of what we're doing right now. It's very important. We can't overlook it. But the reality is that the vast majority of the people that God has placed you where he's placed you to reach are not at the church. They're all over. They're in your workplace. They're in your school. They're in your family. That's where you're going to find an opportunity to serve them. Most important is the attitude of your heart. Seek and embrace ways to serve. Throw off what the world says about serving yourself and instead look for opportunities to serve others. Find your freedom there. So I want to challenge you with a couple things today. Number one, root out that stuff in your life that keeps you from serving God and others. Look, maybe it's hobbies. Some of us have hobbies that take up every spare dime we'll ever see, that take up every single weekend from Friday night to Sunday night. The reality is that doesn't leave you a lot of leftover to serve other people, does it? For some, it's hobbies. For some of us, it's just poor time management. We get to the end of the week and we haven't done anything, but we don't know where the time went. And we're thinking, man, I would have served somebody. I couldn't get my act together enough. I couldn't get organized enough to find time to serve. For some of us, it's just selfishness. It's just selfishness. We've organized our time. We've ordered our finances and our activities to serve ourselves instead of to serve others. There's all kinds of things that keep us from serving God and others. Ask yourself this question. Does your schedule free you for service? Or does it reveal a heart that's seeking freedom from? Does your schedule free you for service? Or does it show you that what's really in your heart is that you want to serve yourself? Examine your heart and your schedule. Second, you can fill your time in a reasonable way with activities that serve God and others. There's tons of ways to do this. One way we're going to help you with today, plug in at the church. If you're not plugged in, today is the day. We've made it so easy for you to get plugged in. You can start serving today. There's no barriers. There's no reason not to. If you're not already plugged in, plug in at the church today. But you just have to start. Each and every day, look for an opportunity to serve somebody else. It may be a process. It may take a while. For a lot of us, we are turned inward, like Martin Luther said. We're looking at ourselves. It takes a while to move from that to looking out. How can I serve others? So root out that stuff in your life that keeps you from serving God. Fill up your activities, your calendars, with reasonable opportunities for service. And finally, chase true freedom with all your strength. So we eventually found Max. We found him tied up in somebody else's yard. They'd found him and tied him up for his owners who would come looking for him. What our dog thought would bring him true freedom, it didn't. He just ended up tied up in somebody else's yard. See, he's not smart enough or fast enough to catch food. He gets it out of a bowl, and half the time he can't do that. He's not lucky enough to keep from getting hit by a car for more than 20 minutes. That freedom that he was seeking, it turned out to be not freedom at all. It wasn't until he got back to our house, back to what he was created for, which was life with his family, that he found a freedom that in a real, meaningful, and life-giving way, where he could lay on the couch and eat dog food to his heart's content. You and I have a problem. We want to be free, but the world and our flesh, they tell us lies about what freedom is. But there's a solution. The solution is that you and I were created to serve, and we'll find our true freedom in doing that, in serving God and others. But the application is we just have to do it. We just have to do it. Plug in today at the church if you haven't already. Do it today. Just make the choice. I'm going to do this. We're going to show you how to do that in just a minute. Look for opportunities to serve others and start serving. Plug in, intentionally build service into your life, and start living as people who are free, Live as people who are free. Amen? We got two gentlemen with us today who exemplify everything we've ever been talking about in this sermon series. Our first guest, he serves in the media team, and he's served in just about every other area at this church you could possibly serve at. You know him. He's your friend and mine. He's Justin Benton. Come on up, buddy. Our second guest needs no introduction. He plays on the worship team. Your face has already been melted off by one of his solos, I'm sure. It's Jonathan Rector. Let's give him a hand. Hey, guys.
Hey.
All right, you doing okay?
A little close right here.
Yeah. Can we
back
do
up.
One of these? Oh, no,
okay.
Sorry.
That's good.
Wrong way.
It's too close.
Too close. They warned me about that. So got a couple questions for you guys. How did you get to the church? What brought you here? Just real quick, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Born in Texas, you know, great state there. Got to Dallas through SMU, just decided to go to university here. And a friend dragged me here. And funny enough, I actually didn't want to come back. I walked out and I was like, all right.
I wasn't preaching that day, was I?
No, you weren't here yet. Yeah. No, if you were, I totally would say. But they talked me into it, and God started to do some things in my life after that, and yeah, so here.
Awesome. How about you?
First, I'm a little offended that Justin couldn't be bothered to grow a beard today before the interview, and clearly that was in the email. So Stephanie, my wife and I, we were not church-going folks, and we didn't even know the Lord, really, and we were just kind of in a dark time. I was in my life, and we had some good friends that went here, Monty and Mel. And Monty said, hey, I know you're not into it, but why don't you come to my church and just see what it's like? And it was during Fast Week. And so I wore like a heavy coat, and I just sat in the far corner right there. Just did not want to be here. And they started playing music. And I think the music was like 40 minutes or something. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This service is going to be 2 hours. And so I left fairly short. Because then, there was some yelling and some prophesying. And I was like, whoa, this ain't for me. But then we came back, and I brought my wife, and she kind of had like the same experience, because when we did go to church, I think it was some really nice Episcopal service. There was some chanting and some kneeling, and it was very peaceful, and here people were raising their hands, and we didn't know what to make of it. But then we just got plugged in. You know, Matt Neese had a class. We took it. The marriage class with the Rollins, we got involved with that, and we immediately just made, 20 friends, and couples who are still our very dear friends today. So, we just kind of came in, found community, and we knew, and God spoke to us very clearly that this is home, and we just never looked back.
Beautiful. So that's how you got to the church. So what led you to start serving, whether it's in this capacity or any other? What was the impetus for that?
Yeah. So funny story, a friend, Melody, and Melena too, I think she was in on it. They just conspired against me. Melody asked if I could help with the usher team one day. So I said, yeah, sure, shake a few hands, pass out some flyers, and next thing I knew, I had a name tag, and I was on the rotation every third week on Friday. So, I was in there. But there's a good point to that, because I didn't grow up in the church either, and certainly didn't serve in one. And I just felt no obligation to, really had no incentive to. And I did that because I really didn't realize how much blessing was truly available for me, how much I would have, and I have experienced God, through serving. I had no idea, So truly, frankly, I was selling for less for a long time because I wasn't serving. So I'm thankful that they said that. I was actually talking to Melody the other day. It's like, you remember how you got me into this? But it's truly, that's honestly part of the reasons why I ended up being here for so long is that I was able to serve and just got started working through that.
That's awesome, man. Great answer. Perfect answer right there. Yeah.
I can't beat that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was so weird. I hadn't touched a guitar in maybe 4 or 5 years, which is a good point for anybody who's thinking about joining the worship team. I know there's a lot of people out there who may not have sang for a long time or played for a long time, but don't let that stop you. I hadn't picked up a guitar in 5 years, and Monty, my buddy, he said, why don't you come and audition for the worship team? And I said, I don't know. I'm not as cool looking as I used. Because Monty and I played in bands together a long time ago. I was like, I'm not that cool looking anymore, man. I can't do that. And he said, no, do it. Okay. So I bring my guitar up here. And I don't know if you noticed, we all wear in-ear monitors. And what we can hear is a little bit different than what you all can hear. There's a click that we've got that's kind of got the beat. And then sometimes we'll have some tracks that are also playing along, some background music that you all really don't know about because we just want you to think that we're that good.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I don't see a harp up there. Where'd that harp come from? Well, that's what we hear that too. And I'd never played with any of that. I've never used in-ears. So I get up here for the auditions, and I just whiff. Like, I have no idea what this clicking thing is. I'm all over the map. It sounded horrible. But nonetheless, they just kind of put me on the schedule. Like, I think they were just in dire need of a guitar player. And I'm like, I played some Guns N' Roses. And they're like, you're in.
That's the 5 p.m. service.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the 5. We're a little bit freer there. But that was it, you know, sort of Monty. Monty, yeah. He just knew my heart then. He said he knew that I needed to get involved.
Awesome. So, you know, we found out so far in the last couple of weeks we've had interviews, we found out that in order to serve at the church, you do need a couple of things, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be able to smile. You got to be able to find a clean shirt.
Yeah.
You got to be able to get here on time.
Yeah.
And you have to read. Are there any other talents or gifts or abilities that you guys need to serve in your areas?
I'll just jump in. So for us, if you can like move this finger, you're good.
Okay.
You're set. I mean, that's pretty much
bar.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit up there. You can walk into the control room in the back. You know, that's our media room, and it looks like the NASA control center. I mean, there's screens everywhere. It's intimidating, right? But honestly, we have so much fun. You know, the training's there. Like I gotta give a shout out to our middle school students and Junior Vibe. I mean, that's the majority of our media team. So. Not to take anything against them, but really, like, we take care of our people, the training's there, so if you can, again, just do this number right here, and you can laugh, you know, you can have fun yourself, like, you're set, you're good to go.
Okay, so if I can read and move my index finger, I'm okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. How about you? Well,
unfortunately, you need a little more than that to play on the, but not much more, so, you know, it's not, gosh, well, we want to work with everybody who wants to, here's the thing. You have to be called to do this, to be on the worship team. You've got to be called to be a worshiper, right? You've got to be called to do that, and you have to be anointed to do it. And it's really clear when somebody gets on stage and they've got that that call because, you know, we'll have a rehearsal, and it will be awful. I mean, it will just sound like a bad cover band. It'll be terrible. But something incredible happens is on Sundays, we get on God's stage, and we begin to worship God. And he is there automatically. It's really cool because you're here, and then you just step into your spot, and everything changes. And no matter what happens, God is going to be there during that service, and it always works out 100%. Doesn't matter how bad the service was, and that's because the people on the team are called to do it, and they're anointed to do it. And man, those are the two biggest things that we need on the worship team.
And you need tattoos and cool hair, right?
Tattoos and cool hair are a plus.
That's a given.
So,
Johnson, what would you say to somebody who's, they're kind of interested in media and the technology, what would you say to somebody who's considering volunteering, but they're not really sure? What would you say? How often do you serve? How much of a commitment is it? Just, what could you tell them about?
The first thing that comes to mind is don't let what you can't do determine what you can, or don't let what you think you can't do determine what you can do. I would say there was a point where I thought about leaving the church, actually. And I thought I was too spiritually mature. I know. Yeah. I thought I was just, I should leave, you know, at some point. And it was right around the time I started serving. And I realized there's a huge difference between reading the words that's on that screen and those same characteristics being visible in your life. Good. You know, and after that, like once I started serving and just pouring into the church, I realized just again, like how much blessing was available there. And I started to unearth talents and abilities I didn't know I had, you know, and there was just a clarity and an understanding that was brought to my purpose that impacted every other area of my life. You know, like just what we were talking about today, you know, PJ, I think, made a good point last week, too, is, you know, unlocking your destiny is loving God with all your heart and loving people as yourself, and loving people as yourself looks a lot like serving, so... I didn't understand the incentive until having gone through the process. So I would just say, like, don't let what you think you can't do stop you. Like, just jump into the area. Looking behind the viewfinder isn't my passion. You know, being jet lagged for 18 hours, you know, in a foreign country and then getting hit up by brides from border control. You know, like, that's not the thing I do for my pastime. But there's just so much more there that's available. And honestly, it's truly just impacted every area of my life. So,
awesome. Thank you. How about you, Jonathan? What, somebody's thinking about auditioning. Maybe they haven't played in a while. Mm-hmm. They've got a vague familiarity with an instrument. Like, yeah. What would you tell somebody that's on the fence? They're thinking about it.
Audition. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? And it's fun. Here's the thing about the worship team. Everybody on the team has a heart of service, and nobody takes themselves too seriously. So, you know, I think the last time we had auditions, or maybe it was the time before that, I mean, we had probably 20 people. And, you know, some just wanted to kind of get up there and see what it would be like. And, you know, that probably with some more development, they would be good. But it didn't matter the level of talent that you had. It was the heart that we were looking for. And in the end, we want to see this team grow to be massive. I mean, it'd be great if, you can play however much or however little you want. But, you know, if we had a team where, you know, we were just rotating in and out and you served once a month, that would be great. But don't let inexperience or, you know, unfamiliarity with the equipment stop you or anything like that. And if you really are interested, and I hope that you are, just come to a Thursday rehearsal and just hang out. You know, everybody would love to meet you and talk to you and explain how all this works. And, you know, it ain't rocket science. It's just music.
Good. Yeah. One last question. If you, when you first started serving, if you knew then what you know now about serving, would you do it again?
Absolutely. And so,
yeah, without a doubt, being able to be up here is the highest honor and privilege that I've had. So it's been great.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. Let's give them a hand, guys. The truth is that you were created to serve. That freedom that you seek is only going to be found when you make the decision to jump in and serve. That's the only way you're going to find it. So we've made it really easy. We made it really easy to get plugged in here at the church. So I think we'll have a slide going up behind me. Shows you how you can get plugged in. Just text the word SERVE, S-E-R-V-E. Doesn't have to be in all caps, I don't think. Text the word SERVE to 214-253-8970. What you'll get back is a link. You just click that link right on your phone, and it's a little application you can fill out. Just collect a few bits of information. That allows us to follow up with you to get you plugged into an area of service that'll work for you. It's so easy. If you have any questions, or if you don't have a phone, or if you're not sure how it works, we're gonna have volunteers up here at these tables. They can answer any questions you might have about serving in any ministry area, various things. They can help you get plugged in here as well. I just wanna encourage you, chase that freedom that your heart desires. Chase it with everything that's within you, and do it through service. Let's stand together. God, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God who didn't come to be served, but to serve. You sent your son Jesus to wash our feet, to die on a cross for us, in our place, for our sins, God. You're a God who knows what it is to serve. And God, we thank you that you've created us, to serve you and to serve other people, God. I thank you that you've made a way for us to find true freedom in service. God, I pray that you would help us right now. Help us. Give us the tools and the abilities we need to chase that freedom, the desire for freedom that you've placed in our hearts. Give us the ability to chase that through serving you and through serving others, God. Thank you that we are free to serve. We worship you right now. We honor you and thank you.